So today I'm talking about why you shouldn't post every single offer. If you don't know who I am, I'm Trent Loire. I'm a former college quarterback. And today we're going to be talking about what I just talked about, why you're not going to be posting every single offer and why you shouldn't. So let's just dive in right away. So I did a tweet about this a while back, and it caught a little bit of controversy because people just take the tweets out of context, which is fine. There's not really a lot of context behind it. But essentially what I was saying is the tweet just said, like, you know, just because you get an offer doesn't mean you should post it. Sometimes it can actually hurt your recruiting. And so the reason, and I'll first explain the reason why it hurts your recruiting, and then we'll go into kind of situational things about it. So the reason why it hurts your recruiting is because, let's say the examples I'm mostly playing to are examples where you get a D3 offer or an NAA offer or a JUCO offer. By posting those offers, you are now associated with that. Like, whether you like it or not, whether you're like, no, I'm a D1 guy, I'm just posting this to build more interest, to get coaches to notice me. And you can definitely get more eyes on you by posting offer posts. But the issue is these eyes are instantly going, oh, cool, that's awesome that Jack got a D3 offer, but now they see Jack as a D3 guy. And you can take it as that's not true, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That's just the truth. People in the back of their head, even if they're not saying it, even if they're not actually thinking it, they're thinking that you're a D3 guy. They're at least associated with those things. And that's the exact same thing that coaches see. If they pops up on their feed and they're a D1 coach, they're going to keep scrolling. They're not going, oh, who's this guy who got a D3 offer? They're like, cool, a D3 offer. Why is this on my feed? And so that's something you have to recognize. And if a coach pops up on your Twitter, they're going to scroll your account a little bit and see what's been going on in your recruiting, who you've been visiting, etc. And they see a D3 offer, they're going to think, okay, well, why is this guy posting D3 offers? I'm checking him out. I think he might be a D1 guy. The last thing, he's going to hesitate before he even reaches out to you, or it definitely extends you an offer. There's going to be a lot of questions around that because now you have this big gap to fill. D3 from D1 is a big jump. He's going to want to wait till you get at least a D2 offer. And so that's where this stuff hurts, is because now you kind of set your baseline. You've set the bottom. Or some people might be thinking it's your top, and that's not a place that you want to be. And so, again, I'm not saying, I guess I should have disclaimed this with, I'm not saying don't celebrate offers, that a D3 offer is bad, that an NAA offer isn't bad. I went NAA. Okay, let's just get that out there. I went JUCO. But the thing is, if you're posting these offers and you want to play at the Division I level, it kind of hurts your recruiting. Like, I won't say it completely wipes it out. I know guys that we've worked with, guys that have gotten NAA offers and D3 offers and then went to D1. But it makes it much harder because, again, you're setting your baseline. You're setting this foundation, this association that, hey, I'm a D3 guy. Check me out. I'm excited about a D3 offer. I'm excited about an NAA offer. And again, I'm not saying that's bad to be excited about this stuff. It's just when you publicly shout it out to the world, especially in your Twitter profile, that's supposed to be your highlights, it causes a lot of doubt to be if you're better than that. And so then you have to rise through the ranks. You have to get a D2, you have to get FCS, you have to get, like, and that's a long, long ladder. It's a long, long play. And you might not have enough time for that. You might not have enough great film because you now need even more proof that you are worth this guy. And so it's almost like, this is literally what I'm saying, is it's better to have no offers and for people to be curious why you have no offers, or at least so you're showing no offers, and for a D1 coach to see that and be like, okay, well, this guy has no offers, okay, he, you know, that means that D2, D3, NAA schools aren't even considering this guy because he's too good. And then instead he kind of pieces that together and is more likely to offer you than rather than the guy who was a D3 offer. He's thinking, okay, cool, like, why should we offer him then? Why isn't a D2 school offered you? And so that's kind of the difference, is like, no offers could mean anything. It's open, it's curiosity. When you have offers, but they're extremely lower than the level that is now checking you out right now, they immediately think, okay, well, let's check out his film. Is it good enough? And they have this thought in their back of the head, oh, this guy has NAA D3 offers that he's posting. He's probably not even for us. And so you have to beat that, and your film has to be so good to do that, and hopefully yours is, but sometimes it's not. I know mine was definitely not. Like, I never, out of high school, when I was, like, post-senior year, I posted a couple NA offers. And I don't regret that because I wasn't going to be a D1 guy out of high school. Like, I was trying to get a PWO out of high school as a D1, and it wasn't going to come. And so that is a different situation. Like, if you are okay with NA and D3 offers and you want to stack those up and you want to get as many as possible to find that best fit, that's fine. You go do that. That's what I did. But then when I went JUCO, I didn't post any offers except I think I posted one D2 offer. You probably find on my profile somewhere to Lake Erie College. And that was the only offer I posted. But it allowed me to keep talking to a lot of D1 coaches. I talked to Georgetown offered me. I was talking to Northern Colorado. I was talking to a bunch of other programs. And so it gave me that opportunity to continue that despite realistically I just had a bunch of NA and D2 offers. So that is a big thing, is like a lot of people think the more offers, the better. And it's definitely not a wrong way to think. It's just what offers. What offers are you getting more of? And how should you play that based on what your goal is? It's a lot of it just comes out back to your goal. Like, if your goal is to play D1, okay, you need to do things differently than somebody that's going to play D2, NA, D3, JUCO. It's just a different kind of process that you're shooting for. Especially if you're not a 4-star, 5-star, 3-star guy. Like, your process is different. You got to go through, you got to make sure all the little details are right. You got to check every single box. You got to do the work that no one else wants to do. That is how you go D1 as a guy that gets hardly recognized. And I would know because I was able to get a D1 offer despite barely playing throughout my high school and college career. I had been around guys that went D1 despite not having the rankings and the notoriety that they probably should. And that's what we did. We worked to get recruited, and we didn't just sit around and hope, and it didn't just magically come. Every single guy that I've been around that went to the D1 level got there for a reason, because they went to camps, they reached out to coaches, they did all these little things to make sure that they increased their chances to the most possible. So hopefully you got something from this, and according to your situation, you got an idea of what offers you should be posting, what you should not be posting, and how to go about the process right. So hopefully you got something from this. If you like this, be sure to follow, subscribe, like this. And also, if you want one-on-one help, then be sure to go to scholarship-accelerator.com. And I'll talk to you soon. Peace.